All right. If we're trying to acquire knowledge, how do we acquire knowledge? We prefer to acquire knowledge by hypothesis testing. You spend enough time in the literature that you know what other people know. And then based on that, you come up with a hypothesis about what will be the answer when you ask a question that nobody's ever asked before. As a graduate student. This is what graduate school is. You know the old joke about you learn more and more about less and less till you know everything about nothing? That's close. But here's the real version. You learn more and more about a more and more specific thing until at the end of 4 years, in that specific thing, you can compete for originality with people that have been doing it for 20 years. Obviously, it's going to narrow your focus. You got 4 years to be competitive with people that have been doing this a lot longer. Hypothesis testing is the way that we do that, the way that we like it. You know this. Okay, two attributes of a research hypothesis that I want to emphasize has to be testable. We are empirical, quantitative, data analytic types. I got to have data. If I have data, I have to be able to create a situation. And within that, I have to create a testable situation for my hypothesis. And there's those same three again. What keeps us from doing this? Insufficient technology, ethics, and resources. Second of all, our research hypotheses have to be falsifiable. We all have that friend who, as an event is approaching, guesses every possible outcome for the event, and then afterwards says, "See, I told you." You're not allowed to do that. You got to pick a side. It has to be falsifiable. You have to take the risk of being wrong. A research hypothesis must be testable and it must be falsifiable. Three kinds of research hypotheses. Here's what I want you to notice. The kinds of hypotheses line up with the kinds of knowledge. Since we do hypothesis testing to acquire knowledge, damn well better. They do. Attributive hypothesis states that behavior exists, can be measured, and can be distinguished from similar other behaviors. It is a one-variable hypothesis. You need to demonstrate a technique that allows a properly trained researcher to reliably record and score the behavior. This is where descriptive knowledge comes from. Associative research hypotheses states that a relationship exists between two behaviors. That knowing the amount or kind of one behavior allows you to predict the amount or kind of another behavior. It's a bivariate hypothesis, and the evidence necessary is all three words. Reliable statistical relationship. One of the things that you're going to get out of me and be occasionally annoyed about is that we got to carry all of the words that matter. Reliable statistical relationship. It's not just a relationship because we're quantitative empiricists. It has to be a statistical relationship. And it can't be once, it has to be reliable. And we will talk about various forms of accruing reliability. P-values, confidence intervals, effect sizes, convergent research, meta-analyses, review, articles, all that stuff. Associative research hypotheses are to build predictive knowledge. Causal states that the differences in the amount or kind of one variable causes, produces, creates, changes, influences differences in the amount or kind of another behavior. It's bivariate. And here we see that again. The evidence needed to support a causal research hypothesis, temporal precedence. The causal variable has to come before the effect variable in the way we collected our data and set up our research. Demonstrate a reliable statistical relationship. What this means is, we'll say this again in a few minutes, no one study is ever truly convincing, even if it tests an a priori literature-based hypothesis and does wonderfully, no one study is ever really believable. This is, some of us whine about, the whole problem with most introductory texts. When you read an introductory text in all of our areas, you get the idea that some real smart person had a really good idea. Then they went out and ran a study and proved that idea, and we're good. Let's go on to the next good idea. It's not how it works. Can't work that way because we don't get things right the first time. So it has to be a reliable statistical relationship to to convince a community of analytic, quantitative researchers and practitioners. Elimination of alternative explanations, still the biggest pain in our ass. How clean is this study? Is this study so clean that we've got no other variables floating around changing the results? And confounds can not only screw up causal and hypothesis testing, but associative hypothesis testing and even measurement, attributive hypothesis testing. There are ways to set up a data collection so that you get data that don't allow you to decide if that index is reliable and valid. Confounds change results. They change results for all three kinds of hypotheses. They get in the way of acquiring all three kinds of knowledge. We tend to worry about them loudest and most for causal, but we're going to worry about them all the time. We're going to be worriers. So, I want to know if I could predict scores. That's all you need. What kind of hypothesis? What kind of hypothesis? Come on. What kind of hypotheses? Bless you, one and all. I want to construct a score that reflects. What do we got? Attributive. I want to know whether I can improve your scores. The other one, causal. Now, there is a hierarchical arrangement among these. Attributive hypotheses are the foundation. If we can't agree how to define and measure things, we can't collect data and we can't do anything about associative and causal hypotheses. We have to be able to measure stuff. Typically, early in one's career, we borrow the measures of others. If we stay in a research area, we often discover we're unsatisfied with the measures of others and we go build our own. That has to be done well. Causal hypotheses presuppose associative hypotheses because if two variables are not related, then they can't be causally related. Now, there's a more complicated, more real version of that that we will take up when we move into multivariate statistics. Because just because two variables don't share a bivariate relationship doesn't mean that that variable isn't part of the causal and the complex multivariate causal understanding of the outcome variable. But for right now, we're going to go with keeping it simple. If two variables aren't related, we are unlikely to chase learning their causal relationship. Yes?
So in this statement, causation need not be correlation all the time, right?
Say that again.
In the statement of causal hypothesis, a causation need not be a correlation all the time, right?
Right. In fact, we're going to separate the design that gave us the data and the statistical analysis that we used. That's why you won't hear me talk about correlational research or correlational studies. Correlation is most easily thought of as a statistic, and we'll talk carefully about what you have to ask somebody who says, I ran a correlational study, so that you know what the hell they did. One of the things I'm going to constantly be encouraging you to do is to ask more questions. Because when people stick a couple of labels on something, they may or may not have told you everything you want to know. And sometimes you have to very politely and gently force our taxonomy onto them so that you can evaluate what they're saying. And the first one we'll run into, someone says they ran a correlational design, you say, thank you. The hell's that mean? Politely. Well, as politely as you need to be. Marvin.
Yes, sir.